In the name of our gracious Lord God, who has revealed His own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. It was both a joy-filled evening of peace, but at the same time, it was an evening of grief and sorrow. A joy-filled evening because as they gathered in the upper room, they were doing so to celebrate the Passover, which focused on the deliverance of their God, as they gathered together to focus on God's precious Word. But it was also an evening in the upper room where the predominant mood was sorrow, because Jesus had talked about leaving them. He brought up the hard subject of His departure. He Himself was beginning to feel the weight and the anguish of the coming grief that He would endure for the sin of the world. So that evening when Jesus spoke words, they had a special power to them. They left a lasting impact and legacy. Our text this afternoon, as we focus on three more words of truth, are words spoken in the upper room, as we join the disciples that evening to hear these powerful words as He is speaking to each one of us. We now read from John chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. After Judas left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify the Son in Himself, and will glorify Him at once. Dear children, I am going to be with you only a little longer. You will look for Me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another." This is God's Word. Sometimes a person needs to be short and right to the point. And that's what we're focusing on this season of Lent with three words of truth. Short, brief, to the point statements, not spoken to be rude, not to be abrupt, but to be clear. And the words this evening are the clearest of words that bring us back to our Lord Jesus and what He is all about. And they also bring us back to ourselves, every one of us, regardless of our age, regardless of where we are at right now in our lives, because these words are reminding us what our lives are all about. As we listen to Jesus, we are reminded as He spoke these words and offered this command to His disciples, that as Jesus is talking this way, He certainly is not doing it for His own benefit. There was nothing that we could give to Him that could help Him out. There was nothing that any sinner can give to God that would make it any better for Him. As He is speaking these words, He is purely speaking in a selfless way, a giving way, in a way where He has in mind for each of His disciples in the upper room and each of His disciples in this building right now, your most needed interests in mind. Keep in mind, when Jesus is speaking these words, He is the unapproachable light, as the Gospel writer John refers to Him, who came into earth to approach sinners. He is the one who had everything and reigned over all things and gave up everything in the interest of all sinners so that we might have everything. So when Jesus talks about love, he's qualified to talk about it. When Jesus reminds us of his love and calls for believers to love one another, he is certainly the most qualified one to speak these words, and we do well to listen. We listen to these three words of truth, and we see him enduring the agony and the shame for us. We listen to these three words of truth, and we are humbled by how giving and how gracious he is. Why did he do all that? One simple reason. Love. Love. It wasn't for him. It wasn't for him to benefit. He did it because he wants us and a world of sinners to have life, to have peace with our God. It was love. So let's listen to these three words of truth this afternoon. Love one another. And as we contemplate and reflect upon what Jesus is saying, we see that he himself came and lived in that love. And as we reflect upon that words, we are reminded that we are here today to live in that same love. That one word, love. Every time you and I read the Bible, every time we reflect upon the Word of God, every time we consider the teachings of Scripture, we are confronted by love. The entire central message of the Word of God is to reveal Jesus Christ as our Savior. All of Scripture points to Him so that all of us might know Him and know the salvation that He has won. And God is love. So as we reflect upon Jesus, and as the Word of God presents Him to us and makes Him known to us, we are confronted by love. We confess that profound love whenever we speak together in faith the words of the Nicene Creed that say this: who for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. We're so used to saying those words, we might be tempted to just say them and not really think about it too much. But for us, so that we are saved, he came down from the glory of heaven for us in order to be our Savior. He who made all things, he who upholds everything in its place, he before whom every single thing submits and depends on. He who was right there in the Garden of Eden, who addressed the very first sinners, and was there to promise that a descendant of the woman would come someday and crush the devil's head. He who did not hesitate to announce the promise of eternal grace and reached out to people so undeserving. He who came to be the man of sorrows for a world filled with sinners who brought sorrow on themselves. He who came to be the lamb led to the slaughter for sheep like us who love to wander. He who gave up everything so that we might have the treasure of life is now speaking about love, because it was love, only love, that prompted Jesus to do this. No obligation, nothing in return, and yet love one another. Jesus lived in that love. That's what prompted him to walk in obedience. That's why he endured shame and sorrow without complaining. That's why he maintained a perfect confidence and obedience toward his heavenly Father. That's why he responded in perfect love to people who so often didn't treat him that way. But this is a love that is really impossible to fully grasp or appreciate, because this is a love that is impossible for us to perfectly have. You see, for us, we have the tendency to show love toward people if we have determined that they are worthy of our love. We are so tempted to show a half-hearted love if it's not paid back to us in the way we would have preferred. We have a hard time loving when it doesn't get us ahead and instead we are insulted for it and beaten down for it. And have you ever noticed how we have a far easier time remembering when people hurt us than we do remembering to forgive them when they hurt us? We have a hard time showing love, and because of that, it is difficult for us to fully appreciate how wonderful this love is that Jesus is talking about. Listen to what John said in his letter. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Apostle Paul said it this way to the Romans, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. An honest reflection of love does several things for us. It can't help but humble us because it reminds us of how unloving we tend to be. But then it exalts us because we see the one who loves us richly and held nothing back and endured everything for us when He died on the cross, as He carried our lovelessness upon Him and washed it away with no condition, with no holding back. He erased it forever. And then He says in a command, love one another, focusing on Him. He reminds us we have something to do right now. And what we are called to do is to live in that love. A new command I give you. Isn't it interesting that Jesus called it a new command? We might wonder right away, what's new about it? After all, Jesus Himself summarized all 10 commandments with the word love. He summarized it by saying the 10 commandments, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we might wonder right away, what's new about it? What's new about it is the situation and the context in which He is speaking it. The disciples are now looking at the one who is bringing it to fulfillment, who was living in that obedient love that they needed, and who in love would complete the sacrificial payment for the sin of the world. What's new about it is that we have a whole new motivation because we can see the love in action by His going to the cross and the life that we have and the certainty of victory in His empty grave. What is new about it is that we see it done for us and we are motivated each day to now live in that love. Have you ever noticed how children so often imitate their parents? How they will imitate the way parents speak to each other, how parents interact outside of the home. They will start using the same tones and inflection and verbiage that their parents use. That's very humbling. It can also be very eye-opening because we might not always realize how we sound or what we say until it's brought back to us by being imitated. It reminds us that it's humbling because for us who fall short are now called upon to love one another. And rather than becoming cynical and negative because we see a world where the love of most is growing cold, we ourselves struggle with our own sinful flesh where we have a hard time speaking loving and kind words toward others. And we definitely struggle with keeping our God first. We are refreshed by His love to have a whole different attitude, a whole different purpose, a whole different focus, and it is to live in that love. And did you hear how Jesus said to His disciples? Everyone who sees you, everyone who hears you, will know that you are My disciples if you love one another. These words were spoken to people who had a hard time loving. The disciples argued with each other periodically about which one of them was the most important. The disciples at times tried to put their will above Jesus. They needed to be brought back to Him and empowered in love. And so do we. And to us, weak, fragile disciples, we are living in the strength of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, who has lived in love so that we might love. And by the grace of God, when people see us and hear us and observe us, they are seeing Christ in action. The light reflecting Him as the light of the world, so that people know we belong to Jesus because we are walking in love. Love one another. Very short. Right to the point, isn't it? Not a long list of mandates. It's definitely not a 21-minute sermon, but it's a lifetime of sermon material and living material. So as we gather together this afternoon and focus again on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, born for our salvation, see your Savior, see Jesus, see His cross, rejoice in His empty tomb, and love one another. Amen.